Well, if everybody would grab their songbooks and we'll start our worship service by singing, please rise and turn over to page 200 and we will sing Hallelujah, Praise God. It's page 200. Mr. Dave Rusinko, Jr., to come up and give us an opening prayer. It's page 37.
Source me when one rain redeems where
Now for the opening prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, great God, we come before you on your holy Sabbath day, as you've commanded us, keeping this day holy, Father, thanking you for the truth that you've given us. Father, sometimes it's easy to take it for granted, but it truly is special, Father, that you've opened our minds and our hearts to know what is the meaning of life and why we're here. These wonderful truths, Father, not only that, but what's right and wrong, that you give us clarity of mind and you lead us in wisdom, that you protect us, Father, you provide healing, and that you bless us so much, Father. So we come before you on the Sabbath day thanking you for all those wonderful things you do for us. We ask, Father, that you open our minds and our hearts to learn and understand what you have for us today and apply it to our lives, that we can be lights to others and share this great news with the world, our family and friends, everybody, Father. We ask your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I wanted to look at, as my topic today, I guess a topic that is very important to being a Christian. And for me at times, probably one of the most important things to me in my life, and that is having peace and joy in your life. Having peace and joy. I want to turn to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verse 11. And when we think of peace, right, what's the opposite of peace? War, right? War. You can have war in your life. You can have, we could live in a nation where, but now fortunately we've only had, back 10 years ago we had an attack against us. We really, for the most part, our nation's pretty secure. There may be certain areas and you might want to not go that you may not feel safe in our country, but for the most part, right, we live in a safe society. I feel at peace. I can feel at peace just going out and walking at night, where I live, and feel peaceful sitting on my porch. I can go to the store, and I don't feel like when I'm going to the store that somebody's going to jump me as I get into my car or I leave. Now, I've known that to happen. I've known good friends where her mother was actually, somebody followed her from a store all the way back to her house and killed her and took her and destroyed her credit cards. Isn't that terrible? And so for the most part, though, we don't have situations like that. It's not like it's a common occurrence. If it was, we might be, everybody might have guns. We might be, ready to defend ourselves. So we live, for the most part, in a peaceful country. We have peace. Of course, peace can extend to different things, right? I mean, you could have peace in your job, or you could have war at your job. Anybody ever have war at work? If you work somewhere and, maybe they're just not seeing the things the way you are, or they're, because we try to live by God's laws, but a lot of folks don't. And so work could be a place for people where, hey, I go there, I don't feel any joy. Actually, I don't want to go, right? Give in the morning, it's going to be the same old. So you could have war at work. You could have a war in your family. Unfortunately, I'm pretty good with my family, but there could be at times, right, in different families where we don't get along with others in our family. And there could be tension, there could be wars. I mean, I know when I first came into church, I had some really difficult times explaining why I'm coming to church on the Sabbath day and why I'm coming to this cult of a church. So there could be wars in a family where there's no peace. So there's all kinds of situations. And even in a church, right? There can be churches where folks say, I don't want to go to church today because so-and-so is going to start up and it's going to, there could be war even in the church, and when there should be peace and joy. Here in Psalm 29, in verse 11, it says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So God gives us peace. He will bless us with peace. And that's a wonderful thing. That's what I want to talk about today, is that God gives us peace in our life. Even when I'm at war, right? Even when I have difficult times, and I've had plenty of them, God gives us peace. I was trying to think about when I was preparing this, you know, some times in my life when I really wasn't at peace or when I was afraid. You know, and that's kind of the opposite. And one time, and I'll give you a couple of examples, maybe more, but a couple of examples. One is where I used to, when I was in school, I was in high school as probably a freshman in high school. And I rode the bus to school. I rode the short bus to a school that was down on the other side of town from the other people in my neighborhood. So I went there because it was advanced classes, and I was gullible enough to think that would be good to go to those classes. And so I would get off, I would come home and ride the short bus, and I would get off the bus at the bottom of my neighborhood, where there's a hill that would go from the bottom of the neighborhood up to a road, and I would turn left, and it's probably like a block up the hill. So I'm walking a block up a hill, then I would turn left and walk another block to my house. And this walk for me, as a freshman in high school, became one of the most afraid walks I could possibly have. I had fear. And there's a couple of things that made me afraid of this walk. You know, I mean, I liked school. School was fun. I mean, there's times when I was afraid at school, like if there's a test, right? Be like, oh, there's a test today. You know, kind of get me a little anxious. But for the most part, school was all right. But getting off this bus, I would walk up the hill, and as I was probably like maybe halfway up the hill, someone started yelling at me from somewhere to say, hey, you so-and-so. I can't repeat it, right? But, you know, this is church, right? So I'm not going to say what they said. But they say, hey, you sorry this. I'm going to come down there. I'm going to kick your butt. And I'm like, I got my backpack. I'm like walking up, you know, walking up the hill. And somebody yelling at me. And it echoes because it's kind of like a hill. I'm like, you sorry so-and-so. And again, I'm like myself. I'm like a little skinny freshman in high school just walking up the hill. Why is somebody yelling at me, taunting me, saying they would have hurt me? You know, now I would probably be like, get my phone and call 911 and like, hey, somebody's bothering me, you know, do something about it. You know, because I'm an adult, that's the way you handle things. But there, I was like, man, you know, I'm just not going to look. I'm not going to look up. I'm not going to look what they're saying. And I couldn't tell where they were yelling at me from. And this would happen every day. Right? You know, I guess they were waiting on me, right? Somebody was, you know, I don't know who it was. It could have been, you know, some little kid. It could have been an adult. I don't know who it was, but they had a good, strong voice. Made me think, you know, I don't want to run across this person. So they would yell at me. I would be afraid walking the hill. And then I got to the top of the hill, and I would turn left, and my house was only a block away, and then there was a dog in the yard at the top of the hill. And so, you know, you get to the hill, and then, you know, dog gets up, and you're like, oh, okay, there's a dog up here. Just got yelled at for no reason. You know, somebody insulted me all the way up the hill, and then the dog, and you have to stand your ground, right? There's a dog, you know, he's going to guard his territory. I'm going to walk by with my backpack all the way home. So that was afraid. That was the time that I was afraid that I remember. And now I wouldn't be afraid now, right? I mean, I thought about going and walking up the hill. The hill doesn't look as big as it used to, you know, when you go back and look at stuff. So I wouldn't be afraid walking up that hill, and if somebody was yelling at me, I just called the cops or say, somebody's harassing me. What's going on? Because, you know, you handle things differently. So I was afraid. And I really felt afraid. Another time that I was afraid, and this was this had to deal with the church I was going to, and this was when I was a little bit younger, and I was afraid. Probably every night I would stay up. You ever stayed up at night afraid of something? I mean, maybe or anxious or whatever. But I was afraid or anxious or whatever, and couldn't sleep. And this is like, you know, I'm 9 or 10. Shouldn't be doing this as a 9 or 10 year old, being afraid. But I was afraid because of something they taught in the church, and they taught that about blaspheming God's Spirit. Now, I understand what that means today. I'm not going to go into it today, but I understand what that means and what it all means. But for me, I'm thinking maybe I'm going to say some, you know, I'm going to say something wrong, or, you know, I'm thinking about it. Like, I don't want to do it. You know, and sometimes you're like, you don't want to do something. It's like, maybe I could do it. Maybe I could say it. You know, it's just weird stuff that would go through my head. And I was afraid that I would blaspheme God's Spirit. And, you know, I read what it said in God's, what does it say in God's Word about that, right? So there's no forgiveness. Right. And so I'm thinking as a little kid, man, I don't want to be not forgiven, because I believed at that time that, you know, there's ever burning hellfire, right? And that's what that can scare a little kid too. So I was up at night probably for a few months dealing with that. And you know, you grow up, you deal with stuff, you get over things. And then finally, I learned actually what it meant. And I'm like, okay, well, I now understand. It's not what I thought. There's times where I've been afraid. Even in my adult life, and I'll go into that a little bit later. You know, times we can be afraid, we can be at war, we can be in unrest, but God gives us peace. It's that word in the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 11. It says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" You know, I guess, you know, I like many days. I want to live as long as I can, I guess, because that's just built into me. And if you want to live long, you want to see many days, what do? He says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So peace is something, you know, God gives it to us, but something we have to pursue. We have to go after. And it's all kinds of things. I thought about it as I was walking up that hill, I could have been like, "Come on down here, let's go at it right now," right? I could have done that. And that it probably would have meant somebody big would come down there and beat me up, right? That would have led to more war. That would have led to more problems. So it says, you know, watch your tongue. Seek peace. Do things that are peaceful. Or even in like work. I've had problems with somebody at work where, you know, I've got to be quiet and just do what I got to do, because seeking peace is something. It's a way of life. And God's laws, God's ways are about seeking peace with each other, and you know, loving one another. And so something we do is to seek peace. Psalm 85. Psalm 85, verse 8. It says, "I will hear what the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints." You know, God speaks peace to us. And we just had the Passover, a couple weeks ago. And during the Passover, we read from what Christ said. And when I hear Christ's words, and we can read God, you know, his words, and we'll look at some today, he speaks peace. And any time that I've ever been maybe a little upset or upset, I go read what Christ said, and it's peaceful. And it's good stuff. And so it says right here, it says, "The Lord will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly." Right? Because that's easy to do. You know, you can read the words of peace. You can seek peace. And then you can, well, go back, break God's laws, treat people disrespectful, or get into arguments with people. You know, there's things we can do where we can go back to folly. We could, I thought about it. I could go back to that hill right now as an adult, walk on that hill and say, "All right, I'm ready." You know, they probably not even there anymore, right? So come on down. But, you know, I'm not going to do something like that. I'm going to seek peace. I'm not going to go do things that would be counterproductive. And says, "Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. And these are the words of peace. I said, well, I was going to read some. We're going to read some right now. Some words of peace from our Savior. What he tells us about having peace and having joy. It says, "At that time, Jesus answered and said," this is Matthew 11, verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest, peace. He says, I will give you rest for your souls. And okay, there's so many things that can cause unrest in our life that can distract us from God's goal. What God's goal for us is being in God's kingdom. It's the whole purpose of life. And when people who criticize Christianity, like the new atheist, they criticize the wrong Christianity. Right? They don't understand that God talks about peace, that God has a plan, that is a perfect plan for humanity to be born into his kingdom. And so when we have things like suffering and problems in the world, which a lot of atheists and a lot of people because I've known folks in God's church who said, you know what, I don't understand. You know, something would happen where, you know, family member would die or illness, and they say, I'm out of here. So, you know, they would leave. I've known people to leave God. You ever know anybody to leave God's church because times got too hard? And they said, God must not exist, because why would we have all this pain and all this suffering in the world? Right? You know, if you know God's true ways, we know that God has a plan. And that, you know, it includes this life, which is difficult. But God, you know, he's creating winners, right? He's making us to be part of his kingdom, so we have to go through some of these things. So there's things that cause unrest. Like I said, work, I've had, you know, work problems. Financial. You ever had a financial problem? I mean, I know when I had my cancer, I had plenty of money before I had my cancer, right? I had good savings and stuff, and I was out of work, and still money was coming in. That stuff's expensive. You know, when you go to have treatments and chemotherapy and all this stuff. And so my finances got pretty bad after a while. That was years ago, right? And it's like, hey, I went from this to that. And so it can easily happen with disease or something happens to your car, right? I think about like my transmission. What happens, you know, what if that goes out home? You know, what does that cost to replace? You think what you get in your bank account. There's things that can happen that can affect our finances. We can lose a job. Right? You can have a job. This job is great. All of a sudden, it's gone. And that happens to a lot of people. So you can have unrest with finances. And I guess that's a lot of things that causes like marriages to break up is financial problems. And so that's one of the big things that people deal with, you know, that the way life is, it just kind of sometimes it happens. And again, we can have unrest, we can have peace, and like I said before, like in relationships and families. I mean, there are certain people that, you know, I'm Christian, I love them, but I don't want to be around these folks anymore. You know what I'm talking about? Because I know if I'm around them, it's going to bring up this old stuff, or, you know, you don't want that. Right? So you can have problems with people. And that's the things we deal with. That's day-to-day stuff. That you can have a problem with a person at school or work or family or somebody, and a lot of times it's somebody we've known that may be the closest, right? That we've known for a long time who may do something, and then there's some stress. There's some unrest in relationships. Disease. Yeah, you know, like I said, I had cancer. Disease for me was something that you know, hey, that's a little bit of unrest. Especially when I first found out. I remember when I found that, and it's been like 8 years, so I'm it's past. But it could, and it probably will, based on statistics, happen again. That something's going to happen wrong with me sometime in my life, right? Somewhere, it's going to happen to everybody at some point, right? You're going to have something go wrong, and you're not going to wake up until the resurrection, hopefully. And when I found out that I had that the cancer in me, and that was a tough, you know, I talk about being afraid. So I was afraid walking up that hill, but I think I was more afraid when somebody told, you know, when I came out of the doctor and he showed me something like it was like about that big on the x-ray. And I looked at that x-ray, I was like, you know, he showed me the x-ray. I was like, that's inside of me. You know, and at that point, you know, the tears were almost there. And I was like, well, thank you very much. And he told me that. He said, well, you know, we'll get to see somebody. And I walked out into the parking lot of this hospital, right? And could do nothing but cry when I found out that. Because you find out something like that, say, hey, I mean, I could be dead in like a week or two based on what this person is telling me. Because the doctor was being honest with me and stuff. And so that was a time where, whew, that's not peace. That's unrest. That's dealing with a difficult situation. And it may even be worse for me if a family member had that. You know, if one of my nieces or nephews or, you know, and that's happened. And that happens. You know, I was talking about this before and somebody I was talking about, they had lost somebody who was two, you know, just within a few days of me talking about this subject. And I was like, oh, you know, that happens. And that's tragic. And so we have disease. And for me, when I had the disease, the thing that gives me comfort, right, the words of Christ. And what does it say when you have a disease in God? What should you do? What should you do if I have a disease? It says, right, go to the elders, be anointed, and your sins will be forgiven. That's a good thing, right? Your sins are forgiven, and you put it in God's hands. And that's what I did. I was in the parking lot crying. I said, you know, I just, all right. And I called Clint Mahoney, minister from him, and said, hey, I need to come to your house right now. He's like, why? I was like, right now I need to come to your house. And I went to his house that very day and said, I need to be anointed because there's something that big inside of me. And I put it in God's hands. And you know what? From that point, even though I was afraid and had problems, I had peace. Because you can have fear and still have peace. You can have difficulties and have peace. You can be mourning for someone and have the peace of God. So that's what it's about. That God can give us peace when there's so many things that can cause unrest. Let's go to John 14. John 14. John 14, verse 25. And these are, again, the peaceful words of Christ. This is God speaking to me, comforting things. This is what, you know, we read at the Passover. And for me, I feel like I'm there that night. When we do the Passover and we take the bread and wine, I just feel like I'm there with Christ. And whoever's speaking or reading these words, I'm there with Christ. Because He is there with me, right? He's with us right now. I mean, he's here amongst all y'all. And when we interact with each other, I see it. And hopefully we can see it, that Christ is in us and among us. And that's peaceful. So here he tells us, verse 25 of John 14, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Now he's right there, you know, right there with him. He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. Right? The Father will teach you all things through the Holy Spirit. So He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. So that's comforting, because you know, there's times when I'm afraid. There's times when there's difficulties. And Christ says, I'm there. The Holy Spirit's here. He's with us in those times. I don't know about you, but I'm very comforted by that. I'm grateful that we can have that peace. And you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. So if you love me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And I think about joy and peace. And what if, and this is like a lot of what ifs, right? What if my life was perfect, right? I was born into like a rich family and never had any disease, was in perfect health, always had a good job, could do whatever I wanted to, always ate great. You know, just think of like, you know, somebody, oh, they got the perfect life, you know, taking vacations, cruising and stuff, and could you know peace without adversity? You know, and I thought about this, there's really no way to understand, to really truly understand what it is to have the peace of God, except to have it in adversity, right? Because then you know you have true peace. If I can, because I know, right, my parents, they're doing well, but there's going to be a point where my parents are going to pass away. I know it. I'm going to get the phone call one day. It's as sure as anything for any of us, right, who's dealt with that or may deal with that. And I know it's going to devastate me. I tell you right now, it's going to devastate me. But I have God's peace that's going to be a part of that. And I want to know that peace because of that, knowing what His plan God has for us. Let's turn to Romans 14. Romans 14. And Romans 14 gives us an outline, an example of how to be a peaceful person. Right? Because again, it's, you know, we established that we have the peace of God in our life. We can go to Christ. We can hear His words. He can comfort us in all types of problems or things we deal with. But now we have to be a peaceful person and to promote peace amongst each other. And this example we're going to read in Romans is talking about a church example. And it's a good example. Church should be perfect. You should never have problems right in church. But I've been coming to church for a while, and I've had people in church, because of like a little doctrine or something, about something that says in Genesis that had nothing to do with what we're here on Sabbath day, they said, "We're out of here. See you later." And they left. An argument about something petty in God's church. So this is about something that could happen like that. And to be a peaceful, for me, to be a peaceful person is I got to prevent those things. Right? In the church, and this right here will work in the workplace. This will work in family, this example. And it's actually being a peaceful person, right? Because Christ gives us peace, and so we should be like Him. We should promote peace in all things. So here's the example. Romans 14 says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." And here's the example he gives. He says, "For one believes he may eat all things." That would be me, right? I believe I can eat all things, like to eat. And it shows a little bit. He says, "One believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables." Right? Someone could eat only vegetables. They would be a lot thinner, probably a lot healthier than myself. Right? Somebody eats only vegetables. But I believe by God's word says, you know, He gives us a place. Leviticus tells us there's animals you can eat, and He tells us the things that we can eat, and I feel comfortable eating, you know, steak or chicken or whatever God has given to us. But somebody could come in the church who believes, "No, I'm a vegetarian. I've known a few vegetarians. Nothing to get, you know." He says, "Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant?" Because we could do that. You know, it could be like a potluck and somebody comes, you know. I mean, this is an example. And it could be other things. There's all kinds of things that people have maybe a difference of opinion of, right? I mean, I have different opinions with probably a lot of people on different things that have nothing to do with God's Word. But, you know, somebody comes into a congregation of a bunch of meat eaters and they're vegetarian. And, you know, you could make the person feel uncomfortable, right? You could be like, hey, look at this. You know, we got some great burgers over here. Or we have some meatloaf. Try some meatloaf. Come on, it's good for you, you know. And we'd say, you know, God's word says you can eat meat. So you could be to a point for a vegetarian, a person who says, hey, I don't want to eat meat for whatever reason. Maybe I love animals. I don't want to die. Whatever reason they want to be a vegetarian. And we could be like, you know, offensive to the person. Or even, you know, make little comments. There's all kinds of ways you can offend somebody who has a different opinion about something like either eating meat and vegetables or just eating meat. Verse 10 of Romans 14. Verse 10. It says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? Right? Because we can show contempt. And that's not peaceful, is it? So we're supposed to have the peace of Christ in us. And somebody could come in, and it could be a different issue, right? Because, I mean, I could be like, well, you come to church, you need to have on a tie. You know, I don't really believe that, but I mean, there's folks here without ties, and we're happy to have them, right? But you could be like that. You'd be like, you come to God's church, you got to have a tie on. And you could be like, a person without a tie, you could have like a rack of ties. Say, here, let me get you a tie here. You need a tie. Here, you need a tie right here. And you can make somebody just feel very uncomfortable about something silly. And you could push that issue. Right? You could show contempt about all kinds of different things. He says, for we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. And that's the main thing. You know, we could put a stumbling block for a vegetarian. Because they come to our church, say, hey, Mr. Vegetarian, nice to meet you. You know, you gotta really try some of this meat that we got over here. We got some good cooks in here. So you'll like meat if you try, try this. And again, nothing wrong with being a vegetarian. That's why I said, nothing wrong with eating all things. It's the contempt part that's the problem. It's not treating somebody peacefully. And again, this works in all situations. It's how, it's being a peacemaker. Right? Because sometimes people are difficult. Some people can be really hard to deal with. And I've learned it's better just to be peaceful and I'll just compromise with this person. Okay, yeah, we're not going to have no meat here. We're going to say, eat vegetables, if it's okay just to have peace. To prevent a stumbling block. He says, verse 14, I know and am convinced by the Lord, Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother, verse 15, is grieved by the cause of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Right? Because we do a good thing in God's church. And the vegetarian is going to leave me. And I'm sorry, folks. They just kept bothering me about eating meat. They're just evil. They can talk badly about you. Or somebody has a doctrinal issue. There's a difference of opinion, and people are speaking badly about you. People probably speak badly about me, and I don't know why, but maybe from things we've done, right? So we got to be careful in how we treat each other in the church, and to respect, and not have stumbling blocks, as it can be, especially with some doctrines or some difference of opinion we may have. He says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's us causing peace. That's us bringing peace to God's church. And that's what it's about. And that's what a church is about. Church is about working together. And we're all so different, aren't we? In the church. I meet people in the church that we're all different. You know what? We would probably not know each other or care about each other weren't for God bringing us together in this church, right? We would never have had a chance to get to know and to love those in the church of God, except for God bringing us together. I think sometimes You know, to really know what peace is, you got to have a little difficulties to have the peace of God come from that. These things acceptable to God and approved by Christ. Verse 19, therefore, let us pursue, like we read in Psalms, let it, you know, seek after, pursue, is an effort, the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Pursue it. And that's the, you know, same in church, work, whatever. It takes effort. It takes effort to be happy, to follow Christ. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 1. So that's the, you know, and that's the attitude. And this is the attitude of the church. This is the attitude that Paul has here to the Philippians. And these were a joyful people, the Philippians. You know, there's examples in Acts of singing in prison in Philippi. These are joyful people that he's writing to in his church. And so here in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, my beloved, and long for, brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Right? The church was his joy and crown. That's what we are to each other in the church. We are each other's joy and crown, that we have joy in each other, right? So coming, church should not be something, right, where it's like, oh, like I'm going to church, man. I don't know. They're going to keep, bother me about the vegetables. They're going, they're going to do all this. Church should be, it's a Sabbath day. I'd like to sleep in, but I'm getting up. I'm going to head to church because I love it. I love those folks. These are good folks. These are the joy and crown of God. This is God's people. My joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Verse 2, he says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntek to be of the same mind in the Lord. Right, to be the same mind that everyone is our joy and our crown. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Right? We're working together. We're doing a work. Well, we're doing something that's beyond our small individual efforts. It is taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world. And we're doing it together as a church. And they were laboring. And he says, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Right? Y'all's names are in the book of life. And we're fellow workers. And it's more, right, church shouldn't just be like, oh, I'm going to church and I got to do the, get the normal set up and we got food and, just the routine. It's not a routine. Right? It's a change of life. And it has to be that way. A change of life. A change where we're loving each other, working together. We're in the book of life. Verse 4, after he says all this, talking great things about these folks in Philippi, and how much he loves them, how they should, and they're working together and great folks, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's wonderful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, these are good words, right? I can say, oh yeah, these are great words, and I'm going to rejoice. But when you really apply them to real life is when it really means something. And I know I told you probably a couple times before where somebody had tried to kill me. I'm not going to tell you the story, but somebody had tried to kill me on the road. They remember from Auburndale the story. Somebody had tried to kill me, and the aftermath is what I want to talk about. It's how I felt for probably about a month afterwards as I was, awaiting a court date, awaiting to see when this person's, in court. And in my house, all of a sudden, and I shouldn't be this way because I'm in God's church. I got God's spirit. I got his words. I got the words of peace. But I would hear a car outside. And I'd be like, whoa. I'd be thinking, because this person coming to get me, because I filed charges, right? You file charges against a crazy person. What happens, right? You don't know. But I'm, All right, so I hear a door outside. I'm like, what's going on? Let me go look through the window, see if somebody's out there. I'm like, okay, well, it's all right. Whew. Or I say, do I hear somebody walking in my backyard? You know, I was a little paranoid for a little bit because, you know, I had went through something that was for me, that, you know, changed me around. And I was nervous. And I was afraid. And I told myself,